destiny. And what is our destiny? Our destiny is to become God's glorious church. Am I right? God's glorious church. And let's see at this present time, in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25 and verse 27. And I want you to walk with me throughout this journey of time, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can I repeat this word? That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. This is what our destiny is all about. We are moving and being crafted and to be designed into that church, a glorious church. Church, as many people have tried to understand, but fail to understand that it is a divine institution and it's not a social gathering. I often hear that Christians come to church with one objective and not others. And that one objective is called fellowship. Yes, we come for fellowship, but I believe from the book of Acts, it's far more than fellowship. Amen? Otherwise, we will never be geared towards a glorious church. You don't come just for fellowship and become a glorious church. You go through the process of what God wants to do. Why? Why do I say that? You see, the word glory is the expression of God. It marks the evidence of God's presence. When we talk about the church with the glory of God, we are talking about His presence. But in His presence, He began to work out the life that can be changed. He sanctifies us. He cleanses us. He nourishes us. He began to cherish our lives. So you see, the reason why God is present in the church is to work out all these things in your lives. What is God's purpose in His cleansing and sanctifying work? Well, we all heard and read in the scripture. He might present the church to Himself glorious. You see, the word church and glorious in the original language, it simply means let the church be brought into glory, which means the church need to be put on God's glory. Do you know that we as a church need to put on the garment of His glory? And so it is my responsibility, or any other pastor's responsibility, is to help carry the church through to a place where they will not be stained, they will not be wrinkled, they will not be blemished, but they will live a holy and blameless life. That is the criteria. That is the primary focus of God working out the church into His glorious church. You see, we are here to be moved into holiness and blamelessness. That is what God wants. Unfortunately, the modern and postmodern church has a problem. What was the problem? The problem is they celebrate for what they have, far from God's intention. What was God's intention? That it will not be stained, it will not be wrinkled, it will not be blemished, but will be holy and blameless. Simply means a glorious church is God's finest design, without stain, without wrinkles, but holy and blameless. So let me begin and describe what this glorious church should be doing. We know the intention of God, how the church should live their life, and what they should do. First of all, let's see for a moment. The glorious church continues to do the work of Christ. That's what a glorious church is supposed to do. Let's see from the scripture. John 14, verse 12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Can I repeat that? Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Please, don't misunderstand this phrase. Some people say that they will do greater things than what Jesus had done, or rather than Jesus himself. No, you don't do anything to prove yourself greater than Jesus. You never do that. And you can never be. What he's saying is that there is a greater in the range of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Why? Because in our modern society, there are many different kinds of issues in life that during Jesus' time, there weren't. So this is the situation. God says, you believe in me, you will do the work I am doing, and you will do even greater things than this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, he says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. So the book of Acts records this. Listen. Records what the church should be doing. Records the fact that we, as the church, should continue and complete what Jesus had done or begun during his incarnation. Okay? So, while he was living on earth, that's what Jesus had done. And the question is, we often ask ourselves, what has Jesus done and what was he teaching us that we should continue that work? Now, first of all, you must understand the presence of the Holy Spirit is the key to the early church explosive growth. The Holy Spirit was there. The church needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And these are some of the facts that we need to understand that Jesus had taught and done. And what are they? Very simple. It is about redemption, transformation. It's about restoration and renewal. It's about salvation and sanctification. It's about conviction and cleansing. That means whatever you and I need to do today, we must look at all of these facts. And whatever I teach or whoever teaches or whoever has done anything for the kingdom of God, it must be within this scope. Jesus came to redeem mankind by giving up his life. Isn't it true? At the same time, we were told that lives must be changed, must be transformed. And lives not only being restored back to the kingdom of God, but must be renewed. There are people who just come to church, doesn't mean they are restored. Are you with me? A person who is restored will remain in the house of God. And when they are restored, they will go through the process of renewal. And whatever we do, we try to help and teach people to find renewal. We try to get people to be restored unto salvation again. We try to teach and help them and guide them so that their lives can be sanctified. We try to help Christians and teach them to live with conviction in their hearts. If you don't have conviction, we will live with a lot of condemnation. So, what is God saying to us? The church must continue this work. The work that what Jesus had begun. And we must teach and speak and guide, exhort them to go back to this area. So when people talk to me in counseling, I always go back to this. If I were to talk to you, it will be primarily on the basis of what Jesus has taught us. To bring back renewing process to you. to bring back sanctification, to bring back what is cleansing, to bring back, to have the conviction in our hearts. You know, church is not just a gathering of people. It's about people wanting to experience a personal relationship with God. Jesus had done all that, and that became a mandate. And this mandate must continue. You know, when you're in office, or rather the office manager, sometimes send you a memo, and they give you some of the agendas that you need to work through and prepare yourself for the meeting. I believe that we all have agenda. We have an agenda that came from above. The agenda that God gave to us, His memo, is to help people to live a changed life, to help people to find renewal, to help people to understand what it means to be set apart, to be different from the rest, to help people to find firm position within the divine conviction in their hearts. All of these geared towards His glory. And that's how God will shape us, prepare us to become a glorious church. Secondly, the glorious church makes the presence of Christ known. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel has always been God's expression of His power. Every time when we look at the nation, the power of God becomes evident. Now, if Christians miss the purpose of God, I'm afraid that you will be running in and out of the church aimlessly. You know what will happen to you when you actually fail to make Christ known to other people? We will shortchange God's grace. That will be something we have to be watchful at, because a glorious church is designed to make Christ known to people. Even when you're walking on the street, somebody will say, when they get to know you, they say, you are different. I want you to know how this thing can be worked at. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And, listen to the last part, in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. That means the church is glorious because of what it holds together. And what holds it together? The Holy Spirit. God dwells among His people by His Spirit. Until and unless that the Spirit of God dwells among us, the expression of Christ will never happen. The Spirit of God wants to reveal Christ. He wants to make Christ known. Therefore, He dwells among us. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9 says, moreover, the sovereign Lord says, in just a little while, I will once again shake the sky and the earth, the sea and the dry ground. I will also shake up all the nations, and they will offer their treasures. Then I will fill this temple with glory, says the sovereign Lord. The silver and gold will be mine, says the sovereign Lord. The coming splendor of this temple, listen to this word, the coming splendor of this temple will be greater than that of a former times, the sovereign Lord declares, and in this place I will give peace. We talk about this, we studied that, and to make it very simple, it refers to the second temple. The second temple is not larger but greater in glory. You know what the temple is? It's called the church. Why is it called the church? Because the Bible tells me God was with them. It is called the church because the sovereign God rules. It is not a church if God is not present. You are there with me? You can have the biggest crowd, but if God's presence is not there, that is not a church. You see, brothers and sisters, the second temple speaks about God's dwelling among His people in the new heavens and the new earth. He will shake it. He will bring in all the Gentiles and Jews together under the body of Christ. And He will call the church because God dwells among them. In the presence of the Lord, the dwelling of God's presence among His people is far greater than anything that you have. The artistry, the gold, the money, the big fat account. But we mustn't stop here. We must make Christ known. We must make Christ known in order to bring people to the house of God. But how many of us are ready to bring people to the house of God? So today, we are His dwelling presence, isn't it? By His Spirit. And in this particular aspect, the manifestation of Christ become possible. You see, Paul uses the word holy temple. He called the church a holy temple. Now, if you look very carefully in the Old Testament, the terminology for the holy temple will help to explain the church, how it's supposed to function or how she's supposed to function. You see, during the time of the Old Testament, when the temple was described, there was a cloud of His presence. The cloud of glory appeared, and it was awed by the people. The sanctuary was pure. The sanctuary was glorious because the manifestation of His presence came around. Church, when Paul uses that, he is also saying that the manifestation of Christ moves through the church. The manifestation of Christ is the glory of God in the church. And we need that by His Spirit. So we begin to see that the church is now Christ's presence here on earth. You are the presence of Christ on earth. It is here that we begin to look at God's values. It becomes visible. It becomes within my vision, my eyesight. When I look at the church, I can sense the values of God, the goodness of God, the beauty of God, the manifestation of Christ in the church will make others know that He is alive. You see, I want you to know how God operates. Moses mentioned this in Exodus 33:15. He says, if Your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses spoke about the gravity of God's presence. He says, if Your presence don't go with me, I cannot do anything. How many of you know that the presence of God will not function if the people are not ready to receive Him? But what was Moses' purpose in his mind? You see, Moses knew that it was God's presence in Israel that set the people apart from the other nations. So when the people would come, will they look at you and say, you are different? And yesterday was so clear. The people saw, they were watching, and they were looking at every single one of us. What we do, what we say. Are we being set apart and different from others? You see, the glorious church is also different by their dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit. We live by the Holy Spirit. We lean on, we yield, we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us, to change us. But how often time we block the work of the Holy Spirit because our flesh overrides that. And then we missed out the point. You see, inevitably, all of us are called to make Christ known by the work of His Spirit inside of us. We can't express Christ by our own strength or by our own intelligence. We can't. I know we are all full of capable, talented people. But the manifestation of Christ is not based on your capacity and capabilities. It is based on the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Somebody say amen. Work inside of us. That is why this verse tells me clearly, the moment the disciples received the power from on high, they became what God prepared them to become. And Acts 1:8 tells me, He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We are witnesses. So we need the work of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us as the church so that the glory of Christ will manifest. And once it manifests, people know that the work of God is happening in this house. Somebody say, amen. Well, one thing for sure, the church doesn't look like a clubhouse. If you look at the book of Acts, it was never about the gathering of social time together with people. It was about the powerhouse. Church is about the powerhouse. Is there the manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us? If it's happening, then people will be hungry for God's word. People will be wanting to have His grace helping their lives to reach their future. It is here that the Church of Jesus Christ is called the powerhouse. When we come together, we believe God's miracle. Are you with me? We believe in God's miracle. Let's look at the third one. The glorious church lives in heavenly places. I like this particular one very much. So I'm going to guide you through. You see, God's heavenly place is for those who are in Christ and seated with Christ. I want you to understand this first. We are seated in the heavenly places. Am I right or not? We are seated in the heavenly places. The moment we are seated in the heavenly places, this is where Christ rules. Okay? I want you to see this. The moment you enter into the heavenly place, you are entering into the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, that's where the glorious seat of Christ rules. Now, I want you to see this verse. What does the verse say? He says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at that. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I want to guide you very slowly in this. Every physical activities are influenced under the spiritual realm. Hello? Every physical activities are influenced under the spiritual realm. Do you know your personal struggles in life, your personal problems, your personal physical needs, they come under a lot of spiritual issues. If you and I ignore the spiritual or heavenly places where God rules and spiritual blessings are located, then we will probably be looking at solutions that is limited within our own physical and temporal level. If you don't see it as a spiritual issue, you will constantly try to handle every physical problem by your own physical strength. And if you are not interested in spiritual facts and truth, you remain in your physical problem for the rest of your life. It stays there. Listen, that's why a lot of you say, why is it I've been telling him, I've been telling her, it doesn't change it. She's always like that, he's always like that. I'll tell you why, because the person has blocked the spiritual blessings where it's located in the heavenly places. Have no interest in the spiritual realm. He's only concerned about the physical. It's me, myself, my life. The Bible says, those in Christ, seated in the heavenly places, those in Christ will look unto the spiritual blessings that is located in the heavenly places. Let me repeat that and look at the verse again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you notice something? Do you notice the past tense in that Greek word? It's past tense simply means the blessings is already available. Did you see that? Who has blessed us? He has blessed us in the heavenly realms. This is something very crucial. Great blessings are already available for us, yeah? As long as we are in Christ. Our position in Christ will enable us to participate and enjoy the benefits of world's future redemption gained for us through Jesus' atoning death. It's already done. How many of you don't pray for God's blessing? The blessings are there. You know what's a problem? We are not getting into these heavenly places. You guys are computer experts. Let's take this to illustrate my point. You know, listen very carefully. The computer itself allows us to FaceTime, allow us to communicate to another person in another world, another place. Isn't it true? And we get to see some of those things across the other side, which we can never see within our physical limitations. But a computer allows us to see a larger picture there inside. More things. Yeah? I begin to realize that there is something bigger than our physical problem. If you begin to go into the heavenly place, you begin to see a larger picture. You begin to see something that is bigger than your small little world. You see, when you live in Christ, you experience the reality of God's heavenly places. And how do I go about in that realm? Oh, brothers and sisters, it's called worship. Worship takes me into the heavenly place. Worship takes me into the realm to see and capture the reality of Christ. I get to see the splendor, the beauty, the magnificence of His goodness, His glory. He's seated on the throne. He's high and lifted up. And I see the multitudes that will be able to lift up their hands and they will cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." We capture the reality. And I begin to see in the heavenly places where the dew of God's grace, where the dew of God's mercy, where the dew of God's anointing begin to flow and cascade into the body of Christ. Because of worship. It's not about how strong we sing or how beautiful, fantastic. But when we worship God, allow the spirit of His anointing to flow. Because many a time we come in, we just sing. We didn't worship. We sing. That makes a lot of difference, isn't it? But I pray today that we will capture this vision of going into the heavenly place and capture the reality of Christ, capture the larger picture of our eternal future. There is a larger story for us in the spirit realm. Paul reports this extraordinary reality for all of us that has already been accomplished. I'm saying this again and again. Already accomplished. Don't just say, God, please bless me with this. No, he already had done that. The blessings is there. We are not entering into the heavenly places. You know, if you want to get your money, you go to the bank. Unless some of you keep cash in the room. Some people put underneath the bed. Yeah? You and I need to know that we got to get into the heavenly places to grab hold of God's spiritual blessings. I'm going to show you from this Ephesians chapter 1. Just go through the whole passage from verse 3 to verse 14. And I just highlight some of these words to show you it's already done. Let's look at these few verses. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the... Did you see the word bless us? In the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And look at this. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, already passed. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purpose in Christ to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of God, of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And look at verse 12. In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Paul have strongly, intensely showed us he has already blessed you. If you ask me the question, where is it? I ask you the next question, did you get into the heavenly place? The next question you ask me, but Pastor, how? The answer is worship. When you start worshiping God, not just sing. Don't stand there and look at the song leader. I know the song leaders are all very pretty, handsome looking people. But don't just stand there and watch them. Lift up your hearts to God. Sing with all your heart. You know what the Bible says? Seek me with all your heart. Did we see that? Is it in your Bible? Oh, I'm so glad it's in your Bible. Otherwise, I thought my Bible has a problem. Seek him with all your heart. And here we are worshiping God with just a half-heartedness. So church, let us understand one thing. Let us give our best to the Lord. Let us tap on God every day. Not just Sunday. Every day, Monday, get into your closet. We get into this private time with God and you get into the heavenly places. We touched him. We get into the spiritual blessing that's already located right there. He says, in Christ. Don't walk out of Christ. You walk out of the spiritual blessing that was meant for you. It's already there. Hallelujah. And let us get into that realm. I just want to quickly summarize that. The life of Jesus and his work are shown forth for the church to continue. That's what we are called to do. We want to continue the work of Christ. Christ who lives in us and who, as we receive and respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in us, then we lift out the presence of Christ. Let us be available for the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Get into the realm of his presence. The heavenly places where Christ rules is accessible by those who live in Christ. If we live out of Christ, then I'm sorry, sir, we will never get into the heavenly place. F.B. Meyer, a British pastor, once said, "You never test the resources of God until you attempt the impossible." If you want to get into the realm of the heavenly places to tap on the spiritual blessing, God is looking at what you are going to do with that spiritual blessing. Are we going to do it to honor him, to glorify him, to make sure that whatever we attempt, he will be glorified? Then the spiritual blessing will be released into your life. You understand what I'm saying? So let us allow God to flood in and use it for his kingdom. I'll tell you what, if we don't use it for his kingdom, you can try and tap it, it will never flow. It will never flow. I'm serious. It will only flow when we know what we are meant to use it for. So please understand this truth. We have a destiny, brothers and sisters, what it is to be a church. Let me conclude with this. I like what Jesus has said. He says, "I will build my church." Everybody knows that, right? "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You see, he didn't say, "You will build my church." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "You will build my church." He didn't even say, "I will build your church." No, he didn't. He says, "I will build my church." How many of you know this church belongs to him? You see, the destiny of the church is to move on and help people to get right onto his primary goal. The church must be a glorious church. I sincerely urge you, as the body of Christ, let us continue to do the work of God. Let us make Christ known. Stop playing computers. Stop playing God. Stop playing church. Stop playing all that stuff. Be real and do what God has called us to do, because we have a destiny. I want you to know that God is calling us to throw all these prejudices and differences or jealousies or frustrations or anything. Just throw it away and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Make us a radiant, glorious church. Finally, a glorious church that is in our destiny. How can you embark into that destiny? It all summarizes in this very clearly. Someone said this, I felt very blessed by these words written by someone. He says, "Watch your thoughts, for they will become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." Destiny is right in front of us, but many a time it is run and walked based on our character. We have a destiny as a church to become a glorious church. And therefore, since character leads us to destiny, it is my desire and my responsibility to help people to live with the right character so that we can achieve the destiny for the church and as a family and as individuals. Don't miss that. I seek for your responses to God, not to me, so that we can all achieve the dream that God has given to us. This is a message for our 10th anniversary. And this anniversary, let us focus one thing, what we all should become. A glorious church. Somebody say,
amen.
Amen. What an amazing God. This is the glorious church where the Holy Spirit began to work inside us. Let us get into the heavenly place.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.